Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 61 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again this season is my good friend Eddie Eith from the AP Fanboy YouTube channel.
Hey, hello.
How's it going, Eddie?
I'm good. Good. Glad to be back. Excited to talk about Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Me too. I'm always psyched to talk about Saving Private Ryan. So actually, why don't we just start off by you telling everyone and me, what's your background with this movie? Do you remember when you first saw it? Do you remember, whatever you want to say about the movie, about your experiences with the movie?
I was 10 when it came out, so I did not see it in theaters. I believe I saw it a year or two later in I saw it in school in sixth grade. Had a teacher who showed us different depictions of war on screen. And this is the movie she chose for World War II.
Interesting. She showed you the entire movie at that age?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we probably had to have like permission slips. It was one of those things where, like, you know, they sent something home and asked, you know, just to parents to sign off. But I remember watching this and watching Glory, which is about the Civil War. But being an avid. You know, moviegoer was, you know, still like, it, you know, followed this movie, being a fan of Spielberg and Tom Hanks. Even though I hadn't seen it, I remember rooting for it in the Oscar race that year. And the first Oscars I saw as a kid live was the year before, which was the year Titanic won.
Right.
And then the next year I probably saw like the first hour or so of the ceremony, and then my parents kicked me into bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Right. My Oscar history goes all the way back to, I believe, 86 or 87. And ever since I've watched it every year live. I've missed 2 years because there were problems with my cable, and I watched them like a few hours later. You know, I didn't get to watch them live, but I still stayed up, you know, and still watch it. And you got to remember, I watch it at 3:30 in the morning here. You know, it's not, it's not like, you know, I'm not in New York where it's on at 8:30. You know, I got a little bit later to watch it. So for me, it's like, it's a known thing. Everyone at my office knows that the day after the Oscars, I always take a vacation day. Because I stay up to watch it, you know.
Hey, I watch it at 8 o'clock, and I still take a vacation.
Okay, that's true. No, but that's because you go to after parties. Yeah.
Yeah. True. That's cool.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, the what years did I miss? I missed, and there were even years where I would record it, and then in subsequent years, right before the Oscars, I would rewatch them. So there are like Oscars that I've seen over and over and over. And it's just like so much fun rewatching them. But now you can't even find copies of them. So, you know, all those I had on videotape. So that doesn't help me.
Well, I mean, they're all chopped up in the clips and spread out YouTube.
Yes. But I'm talking about watching it, you know, straight. And I would cut out the commercials. I would pause, you know, while I was recording. You know, through the commercials, so that subsequent years I would be able to watch it without the commercial. So,
of course, back in the good old days of VHS.
That's right. That's right.
That was the medium.
Uh-huh. Why not?
People actually understood how to use a VCR.
That's right. Yeah, I was one of those people who had to explain to a lot of people how to use it, you know. Yeah. It's like, how do you record? You know, like the scene in City Slickers where they talk about that you can record one program while watching another is always been a favorite of mine because it was something that I knew how to do at the time. You know, and, you know, it was just a very complicated thing for people.
That's right. When my dad was first stationed at Fort Hood in Texas, he had a special attachment that came with the cable box that allowed you to watch one channel while recording on a different channel. And I remember just keeping that and, you know, applying it to every time we got a new cable box, right up until digital cable came
that
in,
was it.
And then that was exactly. That became obsolete. Yeah.
All right, great. So minute 61 begins with Ryan showing up and ends with Miller trying to explain his orders. So we finished things on Friday, which, you know, I want to wish you a belated happy birthday, because I know that Friday was your birthday. Sorry that you missed it by one episode. Oh. You know, so I'll just give you that belated happy birthday shout out.
Oh, thank you. And happy birthday to you as well.
Well, mine wasn't on Friday. You know, mine was Saturday. So it was a little different. But thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. One more year to check off, you know, which is good. It's always better than the alternative, as I've always said, as far as I know, you know, and I'm not looking forward to trying to find that out too soon. So. Why not? so we ended things on Friday with the men finally getting to their destination, and trying to figure out, now how do they find where this Ryan is? They finally found a Ryan, and let's see who he is and what we're gonna do with him. So they called for Ryan to show up, and then. He runs down, and, you know, the minute got cut off right when he was running. And this minute continues with that. We see, you know, the men all staring there watching as Ryan is running down the line towards Miller. And he, like, passes by everyone. And it's great how they give us the look on each of their faces about the whole thing.
Yes, each soldier gets an individual reaction shot to him running past them.
And then it's great the way that they do it, because it really we get to see that they each have different types of expressions on their faces. You know, it's not that they all think the same thing or whatever it is. We don't really, obviously we don't know what they're thinking, but we can see on their faces that their expressions are very different as they move along.
Yes.
So I think that's done really well from that perspective.
Yeah. Some of them are excited that they're going to get that they're going to complete this mission. Some are just, you know, bored and ready to move on, and others just want this to be over so they can move on to the next thing.
Correct. And then, you know, the guy. Runs by Ryben. I mean, we see all the various characters, you know, as he's walking past them, and then Ryben's the first one to actually say something. And he looks at him and goes, "Told you he was an asshole." Now it's a fun line. I don't know if this was ad libbed by Ed Burns or anything like that, but you know, it's a funny thing to hear as he's saying it, but it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? Okay, first of all, you see a guy running. Why is he an asshole? Like, what's the, you know, how is he interpreting the fact that Ryan is running towards them, that he looks like an asshole?
To me, that feels very much, because he's got this East Coast swagger that's very much, and you could see that Private Ryan is, we learn he's from the Midwest, and has that very kind of excited, jittery, and anything. It's spunk, and East Coast tough guys, are completely allergic to anything, to any kind of spunk, anything that's that's pluck. You know what I mean? That kind that kind of, oh my God, gee golly willikers. Oh God. You know, it just, it, there's immediately this reaction that I want to punch that guy in the face. And I think that's kind of what Bribin's given off in that moment with that line.
Okay. All right. Again, it doesn't 100%. I have trouble buying it from that perspective. You know, just because of the way it doesn't really flow with everything that's going on here. That I think that's part of my problem with it. You know, it's a funny line. It is, but it just doesn't. It's like you look at it and you're just like, oh, okay, well, why is he saying this? Like, what? Where's that coming from? Okay, but I think maybe what you pointed out makes sense. You know, that he's looking at it from a New Yorker's perspective, you know, of this this guy from Iowa. And, you know, that's what he thinks about him. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I can give you that one. So, you know, we even see the look on Mike's face, who he's just like, he's not really sure what to make of it. You know, as he's looking through the whole thing. And then finally, you know, Ryan shows up by Hamill, and he goes, "Sir, Private Ryan reporting as ordered." And Hamill goes, "At ease." And then, so now we know who the actor is, but back then, I don't think anybody knew who the actor was.
Yeah, now you realize that's Nathan Fillion, and you go, "He is young."
That's correct. He is very young at this point. Do you know how old he was? Do you know how old he was when this movie came out?
Oh, he's got to be 22.
Nope. He was born in 71. So if this movie came out in 98.
Okay. So he's 27.
That's
okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
he looks younger than that, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's playing 19,
right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But for sure. Yeah.
Sure. See, like when I saw this movie, and I've probably told this story numerous times already that people who are listening have already heard. But I remember, like, I used to get the Entertainment Weekly summer preview, you know, and it would tell you about all the different movies that are coming out and stuff like that, and have pictures. And there was a specific picture of Saving Private Ryan, and it's the famous picture showing Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, and Ed Burns, you know, looking on. And, you know, when they give you the synopsis, so they tell you that Ryan is Matt Damon. Now, I knew who Matt Damon was already at this point, just like most people, you know, from numerous reasons. You know, not just from the fact that he was in Good Will Hunting already, but I had already seen him in
probably Courage Under Fire.
What's that called? Courage Under Fire. Thank you. For some reason, I was thinking Medal of Honor. No, that's Courage Under Fire. I'd seen him in also at that point. And so when this guy shows up, now I didn't know who Nathan Fillion was at the time, but I knew who Matt Damon was, and I was like, that's not Matt Damon.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah, and also it's at the point where okay, we're an hour into a movie into a 3-hour movie. It can't be this easy.
Okay, well, first of all, you don't know going in that it's going to be a 3-hour movie,
mm-hmm.
especially in 1998. You know, it's not like you're going to look it up on IMDb beforehand and say, this is how long the movie's going to be, or that there's going to be something in the credits or whatever it is. You know, mm-hmm. There was IMDb back then, but it was very different, you know, when you look at it from that perspective. But no, my, you know, I could plausibly say that what it could have been at this point was that, you know, the first hour of the movie is going to pick him up, and the second half of the movie is getting back,
yeah,
you know, getting him to safety. It is plausible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as if you say, oh, they can only find him at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, but the fun thing is you know, even in these little parts that were given to unknown actors at the time, you could see that Spielberg had Spielberg has this eye for casting, you know, and it's amazing
for sure.
that you know, even people who are in the smallest parts in this movie have long lasting careers.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many of them. Which we'll talk more about on Thursday. We'll get there. and so, you know, Hamill then says to him, "At ease, Captain Miller, Second Rangers. He wants a word with you." And then Miller says to him this way, and I like the way that he takes him off the side, you know, for a little bit of privacy. You know, even though how much privacy can you really have in this type of situation? You know, the rest of the guys are all around. Everyone's curious to know what he's going to say, how he's going to say it, what's going on. You know, the people from Hamill's unit are also probably curious why they're calling this guy, Ryan over, things like that also. And the whole thing is sort of done in a formal setting, the way that they're trying to do this. And then they walk back a little bit, and then Miller sits on like a group of rocks, and he turns to him and goes, "Take any." Which I always find it as a very funny phrase, because to me, when you hear "take a knee," it's like a football expression. I'm not even talking about the recent football expression, which is a whole thing of a controversy about trying to get
Oh yeah, no, not Colin
it's a
Kaepernick,
ge
you know.
now it's a gesture against racism and things like that. But back in 1944, if a guy were to say "take a knee," I would still believe that what they're talking about here is the idea of of a football thing. Just like take your helmet off,
Yeah,
and
no, it just means coach wants to say something, everyone pay attention. You know,
that's
that's
right.
really what taking me
Exactly.
means.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I mean, I love how Ryan just like sits on his helmet as he's doing that. It's like which I guess that makes sense, that you have a portable chair to take with you wherever you go when you have a helmet that you can put on the ground. I guess that works. And at this point, we see even more of the characters coming close to try to understand what's going on. I mean, even Jackson starts walking closer and takes off his hat, takes off his helmet, and starts, brushing his hair or putting his hair in place, whatever it is, just trying to see what's going on. And then Miller says to him private, "I'm afraid I have some bad news for you." And you can really see how great of an actor Tom Hanks is with this scene, because he keeps pausing, and you can really feel for the fact that this is, he's here to deliver some news, and he doesn't want to deliver this news. He's not practiced dealing with this type of thing. He's not a soldier whose job is to go inform families and things like that. So, and he just keeps pausing, and then he goes, "Well, there isn't really any easy way to say this, so I'm just going to say it." And he goes, "Your brothers are dead. We have orders to come." And then he gets cut off as he's saying it that way. So I mean, it's an interesting way for them to for them to portray this, that he's now telling the story here. He's telling, or he's trying to tell Ryan what why they're there, what the whole story is. So yeah, I like the way that they do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's straight. And then also, when you see Private Ryan is just all consumed, and his reaction, trying to take that in, just, fear and disbelief. He has no idea what's coming.
Correct. And again, we'll get more into that over the next few days when you see him even more distraught and in despair. I mean, so Nathan Fillion does a great job here of playing this character who's supposed to be basically clueless about many different things. And when he gets hit by this idea that his brothers are dead, he doesn't even know how to respond to the whole thing. I mean, you see him starting to lose it when he's being told at the very end that his brothers are dead. And it makes you wonder, like, what's going through the mind of someone like this? Because he knows things that we don't know yet. We're only going to find out tomorrow, who his brothers are and stuff like that. But he knows that, and he's getting this information. He's being told, "Your brothers are dead," and he's like, "What?" Like, and it's very believable to him that someone would be coming to inform him of this type of thing. But again, I don't want to get ahead of myself a little too much. I want to wait until tomorrow to do it. But Miller basically decided that he's going to do it in a very straightforward manner and give this information that way. And I like it. I give him a lot of credit for doing it this way, especially because of what we'll talk about over the next few days about the type of reaction that the audience will get from this type of presentation, I guess you could say, from the whole thing.
Yep, like a band-aid right off.
Yeah, it's true. And that's all I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you want to say about the minute?
No, I think we're good.
All right, great. So every Monday we have a segment called Maestro Monday, where my guests will give their top five John Williams movie score themes, or however you want to refer to that. So, Eddie, why don't you tell us, start with your number five and work your way up.
All right, all right. I mean, he has quite a career. These lists, you had so much to choose from. For all the lists for this time round.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, this is going to feel very generic, but, you know, I, you know, here you can't really mess around. So my number five is Catch Me If You Can. My number four is Jaws. Number three is Home Alone. Number two is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And number one is Superman, the movie.
Why am I not surprised that your number one is a superhero movie?
Of course. Of course. You know, of course.
As you're going through this, what's going through my mind is, okay, is he going to choose Superman or is he going to – no, well, beforehand, my thought was, is what number Eddie's list? That I knew it was there. I just didn't – you know, when you get to number four and I'm like, all right, what do we have here? Is his number one going to be Star Wars or Superman at this point? And you know, so you're not a Star Wars fan?
I didn't say that.
I know. That's one of the problems with these type of lists.
Of course, I'm all about Harry Potter, but you know, I can only pick five.
That's right. It's true. I limit you. You're limited. Yes. That's what it comes down to.
I will say, to me, that Superman theme, like literally like 2 days ago, I just watched the new documentary on Disney Plus, Music by John Williams.
Okay. All right. I saw that last month. I thought you were going to say Superman because of the Christopher Reeve. I just watched that 2 days ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was, yes. I've seen that as well. But that theme, I think, you know, I always say, you know, people say fanboys are ruling the world. I don't think we've won until I can go to Lincoln Center in New York and buy a ticket to see the Metropolitan Ballet dance to John Williams' theme from Superman the movie. And I don't mean like, you know, they dress up as like woodlands animals and, or, you know, and minotaurs and do some type of interpretive. I want a 23-year-old Russian man who's been trained to dance since he was 4 years old run around in blue tights and a red cape.
All right. Good luck with that.
All right,
excellent. So Eddie, would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it is, at Eddie Eith. That's E-D-D-I-E-E-I-T-H. And you can find me on YouTube at AP Fanboy. I'm an aspiring professional fanboy. I've been watching movies and TVs for so long, I think it's about time I got paid for it.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude.